This is the story of Grange and its creator, Max Schubert.
Australia's largest wine company, Treasury Wine Estate, is pushing through austerity measures in China with a lavish launch of the latest Penfolds.
It was 1950, and all of Australia was drinking sherry and port. Max was Penfolds' visionary winemaker and was sent halfway around the world to research sherry in Spain.
Russell Crowe narrating a new short documentary. Even before the China Free Trade Agreement comes in, wine exports to China are up 47% to $300 million, with the greatest rise coming in the most expensive wine category, $50 a litre or more. The taste for Australian wine in Japan too has dramatically risen, but particularly at the cheaper end, the volume up by nearly 400% since the tariff came off. Wine Australia's ambassador to Asia, Hiro Tajima, says the promotion should now concentrate on lifting the image of Australia's high-end wine.
Some Australian winemakers visiting the Japanese market have said that they have received the most intelligent wine questions anywhere in the world in the Japanese market. So that's how advanced it is. In order for us to be taken seriously, we need to position ourselves as a fine wine country. And because the connotation of Australia as a country, not just with wine, but broader image of Australia is not necessarily high class. But, you know, we are who we are, and we are often known for our beaches and cheerful nature, which doesn't always go well with wine. So we do need to create almost a new image, or certainly a renewed image, where, you know, where wine is concerned, Australia is a credible country, and a lot of exciting things are happening in the area of wine. Therefore, you know, look to us and pay attention to what's happening on our shore concerning wine, and get to know us. That's the kind of message that we are focusing on, not just in the Japanese market, but a number of other more advanced Asian markets.
At last month's tasting with the Japanese wine trade, a record 500 people attended.
We have a room here of 75 different wineries, so we have the opportunity to tell everyone about Australia, the true regionality that Australia has, and the different varietals that we can make. Australia is not just about putting a kangaroo or a koala on a label. It's about true regionality, wines at every price point, and wines that can age for many years.
In this video, buyers rave about the quality and uniqueness of Australian wine. The value of exports to Hong Kong rose by $23 million in the past 12 months. And Hiro Tajima from Wine Australia says in Hong Kong, people prefer the top labels.
We will be promoting wines, our fine wines, with some of the key retailers there. We will be at the Hong Kong Wine Fair at the beginning of next month, November. We'll be back there for Vinexpo, and we'll be working on a number of seminar programs, and we are working with the regions or the market's most prominent wine educator called OSEC, and we have a regular A-plus Australian Wine School program there.
The strategy in Korea and Singapore is very targeted.
We understand that Singaporeans just love eating. So, you know, rather than that strategic level, but more tactical level, you know, working with food bloggers and focusing on food and Australian wine, matching that type of thing as a means to message would probably work in these different markets. So for Korea, we are working, you know, closely with, you know, fine wine brands from Australia, and then we have done a flagship tasting.
South Australian winery Gemtree is half Chinese-owned. A far cry from lavish Penfold launches, Gemtree's Andrew Buttery says it's promoting organic and biodynamic wine through tasting events with distributors and the social media. But China is very diverse, and Andrew Buttery says some know very little about wine.
There's no question they're embracing wine, their tastes are changing, they're moving away from rice wine. You know, there's Baijiu, which is a, you know, a 40 to 50% white spirit, and they've worked out that it's not that good for them to be drinking that stuff. And wine is better for them, and it's a little bit more aspirational as well. There's definite growth opportunities over the next 5 years. It won't happen overnight, as I talked about. You know, you've got all these different parts of the country at different stages of their development. I can take you to some cities in the back blocks of China where you'll sit around a table with 8 or 10 people and the wine glasses will be full and you will toast a person and everyone at the table will skull their wine glass and they won't really know what they're drinking. They don't care what they're drinking, whether it's a $2 wine or a $100 wine.
Once you've done your wine tasting and marketing in Asia, the exporting can prove expensive. Marita Kora, an experienced wine exporter trading into 50 countries, says even with the free trade agreements, the costs, paperwork are huge, especially wine into China.
I mean, to get a wine out of Australia, it has to be approved anyway, and the label has to be approved by Australian Grape and Wine Authority. But to, I mean, for an example, to get a basic shipment or one wine out into China, we're looking, we've done, we put certificate certification in documentation, nearly $400. That's a lot. I mean, I might send a shipment, but in that shipment, each wine has to have appropriate labelling, appropriate analysis. It has to have been translated into either Chinese or French or wherever it's going to. A certificate of analysis, a certificate of origin alone costs, you know, between $35 and $40. And then you need translated into the country, like China, with the FDA in China, I have to change everything into Chinese, so I have to pay for that service. I have to pay for certificates of hygiene. So, yeah, certification comes at a high cost.
There will be wines hoping to just ride the coattails of the Penfolds label and the marketing budget of Treasury Wine Estate.
A great Australian red with as much character as its creator.